really good to see everybody. We enjoy being back here at Ozark. Got a question I know that a lot of you can relate to. You ever been sitting in on a meeting, committee meeting, conference meeting, and you think to yourself, what am I even doing here? What am I even doing here? I think this quite a lot. And whenever I find myself thinking that, I work really hard to figure out a reason not to go to that meeting again. And I know you can relate to that as well. So here's a much bigger question. Have you ever asked yourself that same question when it comes to your existence on this planet? What am I doing here? I really think most people think about that question from time to time. And if you've never thought about that question before, today's the day. That's what we want to talk about. Why are you even here? Why do you, insert your name, exist on this planet right now? I do think everybody thinks about this from time to time. And you know, the truth is, some people figure it out. Some people figure it out and live their life accordingly. And some people would rather not figure it out. And I think that's a true statement. Some people contemplate the purpose of their life, why they exist, why we're here, and they know that they would rather not figure it out. They would rather live blissfully ignorant. So what is the purpose of your life? I'm going to save my answer for the end, but I will say this to start with. Your life does have a purpose. You don't exist here by accident. You don't exist here by accident. Everything that exists is here for a purpose. Everything God creates is for a purpose. And you know, you might like that purpose, but it's also possible you might not like it. I'll tell you the truth here. The first time I gave this lesson, we were on our way to church over to Summersville, and I told Joanna, I said, you know, my lesson today, I feel like I understand about 40% of this topic. And as a good wife, she said, maybe you shouldn't give that sermon, honey. So my goal today is to talk about the things that I understand, and if we need to, I'll acknowledge the things we don't understand. We're talking really in many ways about the sovereignty of God and God's purpose as it's intertwined through things. And this even came up today in class. We were talking about God's purpose and role in this planet and what he does to perpetuate creation and even to perpetuate governments. And this is a giant question. And I concede I don't understand all of it. And the truth is nobody understands all of it. But let's talk about the things we do understand. Point number one, I think we all can understand. People have a purpose. People have a purpose. Everyone fits into God's eternal plan. You may sit in on a committee meeting and feel like you have no purpose, and you might be right. But that's not true when it comes to your existence on this planet. And it's helpful to know that occasionally through the Bible, God will talk about certain people and explain exactly how they fit into the plan. An example of this is Jeremiah chapter 1. God said that he had a determined purpose for the prophet Jeremiah, even before Jeremiah was born. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you, speaking to Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. We already get a glimpse of where we're headed later in the sermon, but Jeremiah, in response to God's calling, said, you've got the wrong guy, God. You've got the wrong guy. Surely that can't be my purpose. And what was God's response? God basically said, you'll do exactly what I tell you to do. I've appointed you for a purpose, and you will fulfill that purpose, Jeremiah. Galatians chapter 1. Paul basically says the same thing about himself. We won't read it, but in Galatians 1:15, Paul said that he had been called from his mother's womb. before Paul was even born, God had determined that Paul had a job. And I truly think that although God never overpowers our free will, God sometimes chooses us for specific purposes. He identifies people who will answer his call. And in the case of some people, people like Jeremiah, people like Paul, and we need to think about maybe us. This is a question I don't know about, but maybe us. God will sometimes shape people's life and circumstances, creating people, preparing people, and then ultimately using people to fulfill his will. It's about God's will, God's purpose. The obvious example of this is Jesus, that God creates people for a purpose. Well, God created Jesus in the flesh for a purpose. At the time of Jesus' death, as it was approaching, Jesus said in John 12, 27 and 28, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." Jesus was not looking forward to the process of dying. And so he asked kind of this rhetorical question, what am I going to say? God, save me from this? And then Jesus answers his own question, "But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." So what was Jesus going to do? Glorify his Father's name. That was his purpose. Jesus reached a point where it didn't feel especially desirable or comfortable. He wasn't looking forward to fulfilling his purpose. But ultimately, he submits to the purpose of God and says, "Father, glorify your name." And so Jesus was here with a purpose, to live, to teach, and then ultimately to die, to rise again. All of this to glorify God, and all of this was determined before the foundation of the world. Even the rejection and death of Jesus was all part of the plan. This didn't like delay or trouble the purpose of God. This was all part of the purpose of God. Consider what Peter said to the Jews in Acts chapter 2. And this is one of those big ideas that you have to chew on a little bit. Consider what Peter said to the Jews in Acts 2, verses 22 and 23. "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God, by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified, and put to death." So what the Jews did to Jesus, was it right or wrong? Well, it was wrong. I mean, they sinned. And Peter says as much. "You have taken by lawless hands." So they were absolutely guilty of crucifying the Son of God. But even in crucifying the Son of God, even in sinning, they were unknowing participants in fulfilling the perfect plan of God. Now think about that. Even in sinning, they were still participating in the plan of God. So people have a purpose. This is just a general truth that I think we can say is true. People have a purpose. And I think in general we can say that God nudges us along through life. He creates us, prepares us, and then uses us for his purpose. And it's easy to talk about how this is true for good people. You know, when you talk about Paul, when you talk about Jeremiah, you talk about Jesus, it's easy to look at those people's lives and say, well, yeah, sure. Obviously, they fit into God's eternal purpose. This is also true of bad people. Even bad people still fit into God's eternal purpose. You know, we might think to ourselves when you see someone sinning, you see somebody evil, especially when you see evil people in government, you might think that somehow like they're escaping or conflicting God's purpose. That's just not true. Listen to this from Proverbs 16, verse 4. Proverbs 16, verse 4. "The Lord has made all for himself, yes, even the wicked, for the day of doom." Let me read that again. The Lord has made all for himself. All people. He's talking about people. Everything, but especially people. God made all people for himself, for his purpose. Yes, even the wicked for the day of doom. So, is this literally true? Does God actually create evil people for himself? Do evil people serve a purpose in God's perfect plan? And I think the answer is yes. This is one of those big ideas that's a little bit hard for me to understand, but even evil people are fulfilling God's perfect plan. The perfect example of this was already mentioned today in Pharaoh. Pharaoh was a wicked, despicable person, but did he fit into God's plan? He sure did, didn't he? So we're going to read this. This is Exodus chapter 9, verses 13 through 16. And this passage I'm about to read is actually quoted in the reading this morning, Romans chapter 9. So if it sounds familiar, that's where it comes from. So Exodus chapter 9, verses 13 through 16. Look at how an evil person fits into God's plan. Exodus 9, starting in verse 13. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. For at this time I will send all my plagues to your very heart, and on your servants and on your people, that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. Now if I had stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, then you would have been cut off from the earth.'" So, pause there for a second. What's God saying? God's saying, if I wanted to just wipe you out, I could do that. So that's an important part of this message. God is saying, if I just wanted to wipe you out, Pharaoh, and walk my people out of Egypt right now, I could do that. But God didn't do it that way. He chose another route. Verse 16. "But indeed, for this purpose, I have raised you up, God. God raised up Pharaoh, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth." God actually raised up Pharaoh, an evil man, for a special purpose to demonstrate the power of God. Now, I'm not even going to try to speculate on how often God does this kind of thing, but he did it here. And it just agrees with what we've been observing so far, that people are used for a purpose, God's purpose, even evil people. So God needed somebody to create an opportunity for God to show his power. God found Pharaoh. Pharaoh was the perfect man for the job, and so God raised him up. What does that mean? Did God make Pharaoh evil? No. I don't think God makes anybody evil. But if you want to be evil, if you want to be evil, God will still use you. So God took this man who was evil and made him Pharaoh, shaped the circumstances of Pharaoh's life to put him in that place at just the right time so that he could be used for God's special purpose. God knew all along. God knew all along. That when Moses walked up to Pharaoh and said, "God says, let my people know," God knew all along that Pharaoh would say no, and God wanted Pharaoh to say no, so that God could demonstrate his power and declare his righteous name throughout all the world. And this is definitely not a one-time event. Here's an interesting passage for you. Flip over to Revelation 17. Mike was asking in class today, well, does God still do this kind of thing where he uses evil people or puts evil people in government? I don't have a complete answer to that, but Revelation chapter 17, this is well after the time. This is taking place well after the time of Christ and the apostles. I think that this is referring to the medieval kings of Europe. So this is into the Middle Ages. Revelation 17:17 says, "For God has put it into their hearts," talking about these medieval kings of Europe, "God has put it into their hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be of one mind, and to do what? To give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled." Now that sounds like a terrible idea for these medieval kings to give their kingdom over to the beast. That sounds like a bad idea. However, it says right here that this was all part of God's plan. For God put it into their hearts. God persuaded them to do this thing that all fit his purpose to fulfill the word of God. So I think it's generally true. I would hesitate to talk about specific people or specific governments, but I think it's generally true that even evil governments in this world are fulfilling a God-given purpose. It has been true, at least. It has been true through the ages that that kind of thing happened. And it's a wild idea because even evil, even maybe in consciously trying to fight against God, they might be unknowing participants in fulfilling the purpose of God, just like the Jews did. The Jews killed Jesus, and in so doing, they were unknowing, unwilling participants in fulfilling the purpose of God. And so, good or bad, righteous or unrighteous, honorable or dishonorable, everybody fits into God's plan. Everybody does. And this is part of the message of Romans chapter 9. This is also an area that I don't completely understand, so I want to admit that completely. But there's some general truths that we can take out of Romans 9. I want to look at verses 22 through 24. Romans 9, verses 22 through 24. Talking about God's purpose and how God works in this world and how God uses righteous and unrighteous people. Romans 9, verses 22 through 24. What if God, wanting to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had prepared beforehand for glory, even on us whom he called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. There's a lot of tough ideas here, but some general truths. God uses all people. He uses unrighteous people to demonstrate his patience, his power, and his wrath. Even unrighteous people fit into the plan. And God also uses unrighteous people. Righteous people. He uses righteous people to demonstrate other parts of his character, his patience, his mercy, his glory. Consider this. Have the Jews, the Jewish people, going all the way back to the time of Christ, the Jewish people, have they mostly rejected or mostly accepted Christ as the Messiah? Rejected. Mostly rejected. Well, that's a bad thing. It's still part of the plan. It's still part of the plan. Romans chapter 11, verse 25, Paul said, "For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in." So why is it the Jews in general don't get it and can't see that Jesus is the Messiah? Well, part of it is because it's part of the plan. It's all part of the divine purpose of God. So all of this has been to say that good people, bad people, everybody has a purpose that fits into the plan. And you get to decide, to an extent. If you want to be a good person, you will be part of the plan in a good way. If you want to be a bad person, you're still going to be part of the plan. And you get to choose what kind of instrument you will be. Next idea here in this idea, this theme of God's purpose. Let's talk about you specifically. Your abilities, your nature, who you are, how you are, all of that is also part of the plan. Your abilities have a God-given purpose. Sometimes our differences create conflict, but these differences are also part of the plan. These differences are important. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 5 through 6, talks about this exact topic. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 5 through 6, and then if you're taking notes, I'm also going to read verse 11. There are differences of ministry. So he says it right there. There's differences among us. There's differences of ministry, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. So what's the cause of our differences? God is. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he's really talking about spiritual gifts, but I absolutely think that it applies to varying talents and abilities and even personalities that exist today. Why? Why are there differences? Because it all works together according to God's purpose. God who works all in all. Verse 11, but one and the same Spirit works all of these, distributing to each one individually as he wills. I know that a lot of you are like me, and you like to be in control. And it really bothers you when you're not in control. We like to think that we can just do whatever we set our minds to. I mean, we say that sometimes. You can do whatever you put your mind to. Well, all of us know that that's like not that true. It's not that true. There's a lot of things that I cannot do regardless of how hard I might put my mind to it. There's a lot of obvious examples of this. Have you ever run into somebody who has a talent that you really wish you had and you just don't? And the truth is, you're never going to have that talent. I mean, an example I mention every once in a while, Rick Sparks has an unbelievable memory. His retention is off the charts. I'm sure he has a lot of weaknesses too, but when you think of people who have unusual talents, I think of Rick. His retention is unbelievable. There's nothing I can do to make my retention like somebody like him. He can read through a book, and having read through the book, tell you pretty much what's on each page number. That's not an exaggeration. It's unbelievable. I'm not like that. I'm never going to be like that. Well, why are we different like this? There's a lot of reasons. Maybe some of it is arbitrary. Maybe some of it is accidental. But that's not always true. The Bible teaches very plainly that some of our differences are designed by God because our abilities contribute to the body of Christ. And so, again, to read another passage that states this, still in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if their whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would be the smelling? Now, God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. It's as God wants it to be. So here's a question. Here's a question. What if you don't like what your abilities are and where you fit into the plan? You know, the truth is this happens sometimes. And I've heard people say this. I've actually heard people literally say that they know what their God-given purpose is and it just doesn't work for them. So what then? I mean, this is real life. Sometimes we know how we're supposed to fit into the plan. We really, truthfully, just don't like it. So, I mean, does this mean that you are like thwarting the purpose of God? That you are defeating his sovereignty? Have you interfered with his plan? No. No, you haven't, actually. In the parable of the talents, what happens to the talent given to the unprofitable servant? You know that story, right? What happens to the talent given to the unprofitable servant? Does the master say, well, that's no good. I guess that talent isn't going to accomplish anything for me now. Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 26. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. You ought to have deposited my money in the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own interest. So he's saying this is what you should have done, right? Well, he didn't do that, so what's going to happen now? Verse 28, therefore, he says to the servant standing by, therefore, take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given. And he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. If you don't use your abilities, if you don't use the opportunities that God's given to you, you haven't defeated God. God's just going to take what you have and give it to somebody else who's going to use it. He'll just take it away and give it to somebody who will use it. Another way of saying this, if we don't do our job, God will give our job to somebody else. So what's the point in all of this? I feel like maybe I've been rambling along a little bit, talking about these giant ideas up in the clouds. So what's the point? How does this affect you today? Your life is not about you. It's about God. That's what all of this has been saying all along. Your life is not about you. It's about God. It's not that you don't matter. That's not what we're saying here. You obviously matter a lot to God. The Son of God died because God cares about you. But your purpose in life, obviously, is not about pleasing yourself. It's not about fulfilling yourself. It's not even about doing what you want to do. It's about doing what God needs you to do. Your purpose is to honor God by fulfilling your purpose in His plan. That's why we're here. To honor God by fulfilling our purpose. Your purpose is to be part of God's grand plan to demonstrate His glory. That's what we're trying to do here on this planet. To demonstrate the glory of God, to demonstrate the grace of God, to demonstrate the mercy of God, to show the world the holiness of God. We are not the center of the universe. And this is, as elementary as it sounds, this can be a hard thing to remember. I mean, when you go through the day, you make a huge number of decisions that are 100% about you. And I feel like I realized that, how many of my decisions were 100% about me. You realize that a little bit when you get married. I probably should have realized it a little bit more. But you realize it a little bit when you get married that you can't just make decisions that are all about you. And then you have kids and it comes up a notch even further. Well, I can't make all these decisions just about me. I got to keep my kids in mind. And then hopefully as we mature as a Christian, hopefully we get to this point where every decision we make is not about us at all. We realize that it's 100% about God and how we honor God. I feel like it's important to me personally to think about this as an evangelist. One of the things that holds me back in speaking to other people is how it might hurt my relationship with them, or how I might make them feel, or how it might make me feel. Well, that's just the wrong way to think about all of this. It's all about God. Romans chapter 11, verse 36. For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. So wherever you're at in life, God has a purpose for you. God did not necessarily put you where you are right now. Maybe He did, but maybe He didn't. God didn't necessarily put you where you are right now, but the teaching of the Bible is God will use you where you are right now. God will use you where you are right now. And you will be part of the plan. God will use you. You can't escape the sovereignty of God. And so you get to make the choice. Will you be a part of His plan as an instrument of honor or as an instrument of dishonor? I think that's where we'll stop. I've got another page of notes, but this next page of notes is really an accumulation of scripture that all says what I've been saying. This world exists for God. We exist for God. Every decision, every thought, every motive ultimately should revolve around the purpose of God. And as we mature as Christians, hopefully we're aiming this direction. To become a person orbiting around the will of God. You know, when we approach a project, sometimes we start by making a plan. Joanne will tell you that's not true that much for me, especially when it comes to family vacations. My plan is pack the car and hit the road, and we'll just see what happens. And she really doesn't like that, and I understand. But, you know, if we're trying to be logical, we'll make a plan A. If that doesn't work, we go to plan B. If that doesn't work, we maybe have a plan C. And, you know, again, the truth is sometimes we don't really have a plan. We just get started and see what happens. And as a human, there's no other way. You can't see the future. You cannot anticipate every possible challenge. You don't know every possible outcome. But God does. but God does. God sees us like we look at a map. You know, God's not watching things happen, being surprised by the outcome. God knows. We're right here. He knows what's happening over here. And I think this is helpful to remember, that you fit into the plan and you get to choose how you fit, but you will fit into the plan. I hope that I gave you some thought-provoking ideas to consider. Maybe you'll agree that I only knew about 40% of what I was talking about. Maybe you'll decide it's less. I don't know. We want to offer an invitation this morning. One of the beautiful things about God's plan is at any point in your life, you get to choose how you fit. You get to choose how you fit. And, you know, sometimes when God shapes us and uses us, we end up maybe not liking how we fit. But you at least get to choose if you will be an instrument of honor. That's what I mean. You at least get to choose if you will be an instrument of honor, glorifying God in your life. And that's what this invitation is, inviting you to make that choice. If that applies to you today, or if you have any other need, we can take care of that as we stand and sing.